Boop, 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 boop,
podcast.
Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised. Thanks, Call.
Welcome, C.
Callie boy. You know what I hate? Welcome back to the podcast. You know what I hate?
What okay, do you hate, Sierra?
Here's the thing. So when I was a tiny, tiny child, people would always try to give me nicknames, right?
Because Sierra... Yeah, because you were literally a tiny, tiny child.
Well, yeah, and Sierra is also just like a long name.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, people would try to give me nicknames, and they always tried to give me the nickname Cece, right? Here's the thing, though, all right?
I'm not a pizza joint.
Well, also that, but my name does not have a C in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a C in it. And there were other girls that I went
to school. It's actually Sierra.
Yeah, it's...
Also, that's the other
it's name. It's Sierra. There's two R's. But, like, it just... It made me so mad as a child. And now I've kind of grown out of it because people don't really try to, like, give me nicknames anymore. Welcome back again to the podcast. How many times... How many times today?
At least, I was going to say once a week, but click it or tick it,
bitches. You know how many cops I saw yesterday? A lot. That's my story.
There were too many. Mm-hmm. We had an overpopulation crisis. Mm-hmm. It's the 1860s.
Okay.
We're in the United States. A new baby is brought into the world.
Welcome, baby.
Called the American Civil War.
Oh, my God, I don't want this baby.
No, American Civil War.
Drop it off at the fire station now. In
Cleveland, Ohio, our favorite city.
Okay.
Yeah. They're attempting to put themselves on the map.
The map? For the first time?
Yeah.
By joining the Civil War?
Basically, yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes. So the city is actually very important for Northern War efforts.
Okay.
Cleveland was not only a huge manufacturer and waypoint for supplies, food, and equipment for soldiers, but was also a center for the abolitionist movement.
Okay.
So Cleveland is just a small town. They have two army bases there.
Yeah.
Or army forts, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're this perfect point because they're at the base of the Great Lakes. There's a river running through town. They're becoming a manufacturing giant because
prime fucking real estate.
Exactly.
That's what you're telling
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the Civil War brought economic prosperity to the city. They started manufacturing railroad iron, gun parts, gunpowder, and even ships.
Mm.
In 1863, like mid-Civil War, mid-coitus, 22 of the ships on the Great Lakes were built in Cleveland.
Damn.
But by 1865, that number had jumped to 44%. Whoa.
I have a question.
Yes.
What were they doing with the ships on the Great Lakes if the war was at the border of...
Shipping goods.
To...
So the
other
great
places yes, around the Great
across
Lakes.
The lakes.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And
got
there's it, also... I don't know if the Erie Canal was there yet. Anyway,
I don't know anything
there's
about
rivers and shit.
Anything. All I know is about California, and I barely know about California. I know about Southern California, and that's it. I don't even know about Northern California. There's so much shit up there. It's such a big... It doesn't matter. Ohio, Cleveland. They're on the map. Yeah, take a drink.
So in addition to being the factory for the North... Cleveland also started establishing tobacco factories.
Ooh.
Right. So before this, Northerners would buy Southern tobacco, but when Southern trade was cut off, the little tobacco fiends needed their little fix.
Yeah.
So Cleveland took the opportunity to learn how to grow.
Dude, I need my stupid cigarette, and I need it now.
Exactly.
Give it to me.
But old people speak.
I need my goddamn cigarette, and I need it now, tell you what. No. They're like old-timey, like, oh, nope, I can't do it. Never mind. Doesn't matter.
I can't
matter.
Either. I don't know. What did old-timey American sound like?
I'm thinking like I'm not thinking anything. It doesn't matter. It
all
doesn't...
worms, no brain.
We gotta go.
We gotta go.
My worms are also on the same planet as me, but they're not in my brain.
Great. They're off on their field trip.
Mm-hmm.
You're the bus.
Unsupervised. Yeah, my brain got off at the planet that I'm on, which is, there's like six of them in retrograde right now. That's why things are bad for everyone.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not doing
nothing. That's a lot.
Nothing.
Your worms are in retrograde?
Dude, no, we went to the one planet that's not in fucking retrograde, and I just let the worms get off. I'm just sitting on the bus listening to music, just waiting for him.
Jake's the bus driver.
Jake is the bus driver. I'm the supervisor. I'm the teacher that has to go on the school trip with my worms.
I
feel like
I would be the student. I would be one of the worms.
You are one of the worms. I'm just trying to catch up. You're the last worm I have to get back on the bus. This analogy. We got to keep going.
Okay. Yes, let's go. So the North is now growing tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
The South is also no longer providing garments for the North. So Cleveland is also taking this on.
They're like, all naked.
We need wool and we need it now.
Cotton.
No, they were mostly wool factories. Cotton? Wool to cotton? Fuck.
It would be cotton factories in the South.
It was called woolen factory.
Oh, woolen?
Oh, wool is from an animal.
Wool is from an animal.
Yeah. Anyway, they were garment factories. Yeah. The first one was a wool factory.
Okay. I'm going to stop interrupting, I promise.
That's okay. You get everything wrong, but that's okay.
I'm sorry if you can hear my hydro flask with ice in it. I'm dehydrated as hell, but Jesus Christ, Colin. God damn, dude.
Somebody told me that mansplaining is saying things with more confidence and less accuracy, and I feel like that is exactly...
That's what just happened now. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. I'm an idiot, so it's fine.
I feel like I do too most of the time, unless I don't know I'm wrong, that I say it completely confident.
And then I really try to explain it to you, and you are stuck in being wrong. I can't get you out. All right.
Well, by the
woolen factories.
Woolen factories. At the end of the war, the city treated returning troops to a meal and a special welcoming ceremony before they would collect their payment at Camp Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland, Ohio has finally made the map.
Congrats, Cleveland. You did it. I don't know how you got back off it to where you need to get back on it in Balloon Fest of 86.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yay.
So for the next century, Cleveland was a major industrial center for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They kept making clothes and railroads and car parts and whatever the hell else they wanted to. But as you might expect from early 1900 America, worrying about the environment was not a top priority for the city.
Not for me. I'm too busy fucking it up.
Exactly. It's almost like the city grew too fast.
Oh, no.
And they never thought about, like, getting rid of sewage or waste. Yeah. They're just like, that's a later problem.
Electricity as well.
I feel like they had that. Maybe.
They weren't like fucking exploding the power grid every other probably. Summer. Probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sounds like Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, it
doesn't look. Their power plants are literally exploding every other summer, and we don't know why. Infrastructure, man.
Maybe we need to build less factories and more power.
Start using balloons for everything. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to connect it to the balloon fest.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
Okay.
By the 1800s, the Cuyahoga River, mm-hmm. running through the center of town, was a soup of sewage, industrial waste, and oil.
Ew.
Ew. I'm bringing this up. I'm not bringing it up. It's a major plot point. I'm saying this, but a lot of the cities around the United States at this time had the same thing. If they had a river, it was just sewage and oil and industrial runoff.
Icky.
But this one... has some special things going on.
A little special sauce in it?
Yes.
Nice. What is it?
No, I'm just saying this river is special. This river is dealt different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In 1881, the mayor of Cleveland called the Cuyahoga River an open sewer.
Yeah.
There was so much oil, in fact, that if a steamboat captain were to shovel hot coals in overboard, the river would catch on fire. And so it did. A bunch of fucking times. So many times. And you know how they aren't really good at records at this point?
Uh-huh.
So sometimes the fire department would report on it. Sometimes the news would report on it. Like, the records don't match up. So there are 13 confirmed times it caught on fire. But there's probably more. It's probably more in the, like, hundreds range. And most of them are minor. It just catches on fire for a little bit. You put it out, it's good. You're good.
With what water? What water are they using to put the fires out, Colin?
I don't know.
Were the fires wearing wigs?
I don't fucking know. And it also, like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, they have to make money. They need the oil river, you know? It's not hurting anyone, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And some of these fires were even intentional. When the river was too polluted, sometimes they would throw a torch in to burn off excess pollutants.
Okay, honestly, though, like, I get it. We're literally fighting fire with fire.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They really said, you know what? You know what seems to make it less icky and more water? Fire, for some reason. We should keep doing that, because we don't know what science is yet.
God damn. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I love these people.
I love them so much. So at this point, the city would rather build a new sewer system to prevent cholera outbreaks than limit production and prevent river fires.
Yeah.
So it's like they're trying to handle one thing that the river is causing, cholera, by building sewers.
Right.
They're not going to build like water treatment plants and like ways of disposing fucking industrial runoff.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
We just have to do one thing at a time right now.
Exactly.
We're really overwhelmed. We're Cleveland. We're on the map. It's overwhelming being on the map. Yeah,
we have to build guns and boats.
And set things on fire.
Exactly. So, it's 1912. A river fire breaks out. No big deal. The fire department gets in their silly little fireboats and goes to fight the
guys. Oh, I love a good fireboat. Oh, reminds me of Boston Massachusetts.
Right? By the time they had it extinguished, the fire had killed 5 people. The first recorded river fire fatalities for Cleveland.
River fire. Yeah. That's an oxymoron. Like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. River fire. Can't this work.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah, this is fucking stupid. I love it.
So, no big deal. It's 1912. They've got plenty of death going on anyways.
Yeah.
Like, what's 5 more?
Yeah. Throw a couple more on there, you know, just for good measure.
So, this went on. Nobody cared. Small fires continued to break out.
Oh.
Factories continued to pump their waste into the Cuyahoga. And in 1936, we have another notable fire. This one burnt for 5 days.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
5 days worth of river just burning?
Exactly. Smoke just blanketing the town.
Oh.
Horrible.
Oh.
Yeah. So, still, this was like a small fire compared to, like, cleaning up Cleveland. That's a big project. Let's go with fire. Who cares?
Yeah.
We need our jobs.
Right. We have to stop.
Jobs are important.
Yeah.
Don't let the robots replace you.
I don't know what jobs would be taken away if we didn't put out the fire.
If we cleaned up the river. You know what? Jobs would be created by environmental reform because you'd need more people.
Yeah. Okay.
I see. Yeah. Right. There would actually be jobs created. So I don't know why these people have their fucking panties in a wad.
We're in the industrial age.
Yes.
Everything's industrial.
Yes.
We don't...
Including these tits.
We just figured out how to do some stuff, so we don't even know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make it day to day.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So nothing fucking changes. Our river is a cesspool, we're still making stuff, and we don't even have balloons yet.
Ugh. God damn it.
Lame.
Did we know what helium was?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. 1959 rolls around, and I bet you can't guess what happens next.
The river catches on fire again.
Yeah.
For even longer.
No, less time.
Okay.
3 days.
Oh.
And this time we have more talented
firefighters,
because they put it on in 3 days.
Yeah.
But this one caused the most damage so far and ever. This fire caused $1.5 million in damage, or $15 million today.
What kind of damage are we talking? Like warehouses on the river and shit?
Yeah, anything that had wood touching the river. Oh, it's also going to burn that.
Well,
yeah.
Why would you? Oh my God. Okay, if you're so set on the fact that you want to set this river on fire often, why aren't we using metal near the fire river?
I don't know. I'm sure stuff still catches on fires.
On fires.
On fire. Yeah. See, this is something that I don't understand about 9/11. Because there's steel towers.
No, this is a serious thought. No. Jet fuel can't melt glass steel beams.
Okay. I'm being dead serious. I know it sounds like I'm laughing, but only because Sierra's laughing at me. Because I have wondered this for so long.
Like, yeah, jet fuel can't melt steel beams. That's like the whole thing about 9/11 conspiracies. Is that literally the plane fuel cannot be hot enough to melt those steel fucking beams and make those two fucking towers collapse, bitch.
I think they can, though. Because it's no, not it, just jet fuel, though, that's burning. There's other stuff that's burning and probably has a higher heat point, right? I don't know
how. You need to go watch some 9/11 documentaries ASAP.
Documentaries, conspiracies.
Conspiracy documentaries.
Okay. Because my point being, I don't understand.
You need to jump down that YouTube rabbit hole.
You should send me links because I don't know where to find that.
Okay. You might get a virus, but all right.
I just don't understand how, like, big metal buildings can catch on fire.
Okay. Do you know what drywall is?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that really flammable?
So, drywall...
When a drywall papa and a drywall mama really love each other...
They have drywall babies, and that's what we make our buildings out of, right?
Right.
And so, okay, think about this house. We have drywall and we have studs. Now, in big, tall skyscrapers like that, there are, like, steel beams that are used quite often, right?
Yeah.
But there's also concrete, and there's also, like, the drywall within the, you know, that you slather your paint on.
Right. Well, and I understand all that burning. Right.
So.
But it just doesn't make sense how you have a shell of a building.
All or of no that building. Falling apart is because of the, it affects the structural integrity of the building. It's all about engineering. It's all about architectural engineering, which I know jack fucking squat about. I had an architectural engineering roommate, and he was really fucking smart.
And he told you about the Twin Towers
falling. And he did not tell me about 9/11. Ever. That wasn't ever a topic of conversation up until lately in my life. Up until really lately.
Okay, but did you talk about, like, buildings burning down?
No.
Oh.
I'm simply just telling you what I know about buildings, which is...
It's more than I know.
If it falls apart and it's a big-ass, tall-ass fucking skyscraper,
yeah,
shit is heavy up there, right? And so if one part starts burning, the whole thing's fucked.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the deal. Think about it like this. If molasses can bend the steel supports on the Boston Elevated Railway, jet fuel can melt steel beams.
Is that your take?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna send you a couple Reddit threads. I'm going to send you a couple YouTube videos. And you let me know what you think after. Because truly, I do not understand. And I will never understand how it actually happened. And I've watched a lot of media revolving around the big one. The big 1-1. The big 9-1-1.
Yikes. Let's Pardon move me. On.
Yeah, please, God. We might have to cut that whole goddamn thing. Oh my God, wait, I have to tell you something. It's about 9/11. They hit the Pentagon! Sorry. Okay, so, get away from me. I get so nervous. So, okay, Sam's...
She just waved at her mic. She's like, get away from
get
me.
Get away from me. Okay, so Sam moved out this week.
Yes.
And it makes me really sad that she moved out. But her Peter... Her boyfriend, Peter, came out, like, he flew out here to help her move back to North Carolina with him. And I fucking love Peter. I love Peter so much. And I've never liked any of my friends' boyfriends, but I love Peter. And Peter has a really fucking good sense of humor, and he's a history nut. And so I looked at him. We were sitting on the couch one night, and I was gone. And I looked at him, and I go, Peter, how do you feel about 9/11 jokes? And he said, he gave me this analogy, and he basically said, when you tell a really bad dog joke, it can still be kind of funny because it's about a dog, right? Dogs aren't that serious. If you tell a really bad 9/11 joke, like, boo, tasteless, you're an idiot. If you tell a really good dog joke, it's a really good dog joke. And if you tell a really good 9/11 joke, and he said, there is no better joke than a really good 9/11 joke. And I don't know if any of our jokes are considered good, but I thought that was really funny. It made me laugh for a very long time.
That is pretty good.
He said that to me. He's a very smart man in a lot of different ways.
I believe it. He is the pro of 9/11 jokes.
He's a fucking dork.
I love that.
He gave me so many podcast ideas.
Oh, good.
And I retained none of them. Didn't write them down because I'm an idiot, but I can just text him. Let's get back on track.
Yes. So, big fire, 1959. $15 million today.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't fucking care, like, at all.
Well, yeah. Why would I?
But things started to change in Cleveland. Mm. The city had lost about 60,000 manufacturing jobs due to deindustrialization.
Sounds good.
And less people working in the polluting industries means more people are cognizant of the repercussions of having an oil river.
Right.
So now they're like, my job doesn't rely on us having this shit. Maybe we should get this shit cleaned up.
Also, I like to think about this quite a bit when I'm like thinking about my ecological footprint or whatever. I almost said economical, ecological footprint. I'm always like, what I'm doing right now, this action, this verb that I am partaking in, would it occur naturally in the wild? And my answer is always no. And then I go, thank you, I don't know, being human. So if you think about it, oil rivers don't occur naturally in the real world. So why would you think that it's okay to just have one?
Jobs.
The oil river provides jobs.
Yeah.
Feeds hungry mouths.
Yeah.
Just big scoops of oil.
Yep.
And water.
Yum. Ugh. Flint, Michigan.
Jacksonville, wherever the
Mississippi.
Fuck
Mississippi.
Wherever the fuck that's happening.
Yay, yummy water.
And also another part in Michigan. Michigan's got to figure it out, man.
Yeah. Well, this isn't their, like, water. This is, like, their river. So I don't know what they were doing for water.
Yeah, what?
Their water may have been flammable. I don't know.
They weren't doing anything for the water.
They were drinking vodka.
Yeah. Or whatever
was... If I were in Cleveland in this time, I probably would.
I wouldn't be in Cleveland. I just wouldn't be.
I would jump in the river and die.
I would find a way to not be in Cleveland during this time.
Yep. Okay, so nobody cares. They're losing jobs.
Okay.
They start to care a little bit.
All right.
The morning of Sunday, June 22nd, 1969, the river catches fire again. But this time, it was extinguished within 30 minutes. Good job, fire people.
Yeah, good job, firemen.
Right. But within those 30 minutes, it caused $50,000 in damages, which is $403,000 today.
That's, run that by me again, one more time.
So in 30 minutes, it caused $50,000 in damages, or the equivalent of $403,000 in damage.
Did people just leave their piles of money by the river? I don't understand how this is causing so much damage.
No, most of it was railroad bridges. Oh, so this one in particular took place, it ignited under a railroad bridge.
Oh my God.
So like all the railroad bridges are fucked.
Yeah.
And then all that steel, you're not going to fucking dredge it out of the river.
No, it's all slippery. You can't. Yeah. It's covered in oil. Oh, fuck.
All the trains would fall off. Yeah.
Buster Keaton would be there in a heartbeat. Right? Bitch. A heartbeat. He said,
the river Buster Keaton itself.
And then Buster Keaton showed up and said, that's my gig. I'm supposed to fuck up the railroads and the bridges.
Yeah, excuse me.
I did it first. You're a copycat.
Yeah. Like, fuck off. Nobody cared.
No, yeah, no. Yeah. Why would they?
And that was just, like, a small fire. It was, like, not a big deal at all.
It's not their problem, dude.
Yep. For almost a year, nobody thought about this fire, like, at all. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a fire. A mm-hmm. small fire mm-hmm. that lasted 30 minutes in a shitty old town in America. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Mm-mm. But Cleveland started to change.
Oh.
Separately.
Yeah.
In April 1970... Cleveland celebrated the country's first Earth Day, so they were a part of the
1970?
Celebration.
1970?
Yeah.
Damn, good for us. Those fucking hippies, dude. Uh-huh. They all went to Woodstock, dropped a bunch of LSD, and went, damn.
Damn, all
our trees. Trees are nice, and I can breathe. Fuck yeah. Yeah. We gotta stick with this.
This is why we need to legalize marijuana everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, I just want to say that people that... don't like marijuana. I get it if it's not your thing. But to completely criminalize it and make it such a bad thing and make it seem like you cannot be a productive member of society if you use marijuana is the fucking dumbest thing on the entire planet. And I will really truly never understand it because when I partake in recreational activities, I like structure myself out throughout the day. I'm not like more productive throughout the day, but I get done what I need to get done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What am I saying? I am more productive throughout the day because I like time myself out. I give myself like time to do whatever I need to do. Over. I remember Colin's coming over. Like yesterday, smoked a little bit of weed and then I went out and ran errands and I was so goddamn fucking productive. I took all this fucking garbage out of my fucking garage and actually like took it, but like I was doing stuff, you know what I mean? And then I'm like way more mindful too when I'm high, because I was sitting on the couch the other night with Annabelle and we were just having a great time. We were watching TikToks, watching some Hell's Kitchen, you know, we were eating snacks, just having a good old time, being a little stoned. And I just like looked at her while she was telling me something and I was like, damn, I really like what I'm doing right now. And it makes me more mindful. Aww. And I really like appreciate that too.
That's so
and I don't
sweet.
Know if it's just because Mercury's in the microwave or whatever, but that could also be it. Anyways.
Totally could be.
Legalize weed. Anyways, let's keep going.
Yeah. So, first Earth Day, a couple months later, Time Magazine published an article on the fire. This tiny little fire. They're like, yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
What about the one that burned for 5 days?
Huh? No, nobody cared. That was years and years
ago.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
We care now because it's different from Earth Day. We're pushing the boundary. You know what I mean?
I guess.
We're being different.
Yeah. So, Time published an article on the fire.
Yeah.
The 1969 fire didn't have any photos taken of it.
Mm-hmm.
The fire was put out so damn quick, nobody even got the chance to. That's how fucking efficient this fire
and
department
Time Magazine
is.
Said, we are going to do a column with pictures. It's just
exactly
nothing.
No, literally they had pictures.
Of what?
The fire.
How?
Exactly. Time travel? Like, how the fuck did they do it?
Wait. Okay, wait. You're telling me that Time Magazine fucking doctored some pictures and put it in their fucking stupid fucking little column?
What I'm telling you is they used the photo from the 1952 fire, a 17-year-old photo at this point.
I'm passing away.
And that's... passed it off as the 1969 fire. Like, and that's how little photography had improved, that they were able to pass off a 17-year-old photo. Can you imagine trying to pass off a 17-year-old photo, like a camera photo or something, today?
As 2003?
Yeah.
Grainy.
A photo, yeah. Just like, this
but
was taken
but
yesterday.
That's kind of like the vibe now of like taking pictures. These days, at least from what I see.
Okay, like 70s or 60s vibe.
Yeah.
Like actual photography.
Yeah.
Not like photos, not digital photography.
But like the disposable cameras, you know? Those are making a comeback,
okay,
dude.
Okay, I get. Yeah, I guess,
but
I was thinking
still,
about like.
Like if you handed me a picture from fucking 2004 and you said I took this yesterday, I would say,
well,
you're
so,
weird.
But also consider the source. Like, the newspaper is always going to use present-day technology
and,
or, like, semi-present-day technology. So, like, if you told me you took a photo yesterday and it looked like it came from 2003, I would totally believe you.
Yeah.
But if the fucking New York Times put a photo that was supposed to happen yesterday and it looked like it came out of a 2003 camera...
yeah.
Like...
I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Where did you get this?
Exactly. But nobody fucking batted an eye.
It's so good. It's so funny, dude.
Yeah. And then in December 1970, National Geographic, which is the most accurate news source ever,
yep,
by the way.
Super.
They made the Cuyahoga River fire of 1969, that tiny little 30-minute fire,
mm-hmm,
their cover story.
Front page.
Yeah, literally. Their front page image is this duck in like swimming in like oil.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But the story was about the Cuyahoga River. And guess what?
Everybody's jumping on the fucking bandwagon.
Guess what?
Time Magazine
they also
got
details
it.
Wrong.
Oh, I love journalism.
Yeah. They misprinted the fucking date of the fire. How is it this hard? Like, you have editors. Yesterday, my boss was like looking at a column in the newspaper and they spelled veterans, two syllables, like without the middle E, V-E-T-R-A-N-S.
That's more disrespectful than a 9/11 joke.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
I don't...
It's more fucked up than the Cuyahoga River.
I'm glad that you and I are on the same page about this because listen. So when I went out to see my family a couple weeks ago, my aunt told me that I have always been very picky about the way that sentences are structured or the way that things are spelled. And I was like that when I was a child. And I'm still fucking like that. Like, it just baffles me when people don't know how to spell.
Yeah.
But then I don't know how to spell, and I'm like, oh, ha, cute, quirky.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we make mistakes, but, like, that's why we have editors. Like, the New York fucking Times shouldn't be making a mistake.
You're literally paying someone to make sure that there are no mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's still a mistake.
Yeah.
Fire that guy. Bring in a new guy.
How many people, like, okay, you think about it. We explode from two or three people reading something
uh-huh.
to... thousands and thousands the next day, you want it to be right.
And you're not.
You just look wrong yeah, if it's not it's right.
It's embarrassing
like,
if it's wrong.
It's so embarrassing.
Like, you're not embarrassed about that? Literally everyone is reading this yeah. and you're okay with spelling veteran? Like Vetran?
Yes.
Vetran? I honor our Vetrans every day.
Okay. So, yeah. So Nat Geo.
Oh, yeah.
Not being good.
Yep.
They suck. Yeah. Also, in December 1970, President Richard Nixon establishes the Environmental Protection Agency. That name causes trauma. I'm so
just,
sorry.
Like, I should have put a trigger warning. Viscerally react. Get it away from me. Ugh, God, I'm itchy.
Also in December 1970,
yeah.
U.S. Attorney Robert Jones started leading a federal grand jury investigation on the water pollution created by 12 companies in Ohio. This resulted in the U.S. Attorney General filing a lawsuit against a company for discharging cyanide into the Cuyahoga. I've said that a couple times and now I can't.
You did Cuyahoga so good. Those like four sentences were so good.
Thank you.
And that goddamn Cuyahoga River, man. First they got oil in it. Now they're trying to clean it up. Then they don't want to clean it up. And now you can't say it. And I think that's rude. Okay, so cyanide?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, the point of this isn't, yeah, like, okay, it sucks there's cyanide. But of course there's cyanide. Yeah, what? Of course there's fucking cyanide. What did you expect?
In a rainbow. Of course there's cyanide. It's Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio. Of course there's cyanide. That's the slogan for Cleveland. Oh, the man. Chattahooga River.
Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga River. Chattanooga. The Cuyahoga River. Of course there's cyanide. Come take a drink.
I guess my point is it's December 1970. EPA is just established and the U.S. attorney is going after this
mess of a situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So finally something's starting to happen.
We're doing something. I don't like that Richard Nixon is doing it. I don't like that he's involved.
I'm
proud of him.
I don't. Yeah. See, I don't care who's involved if they're doing like a good thing.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, I do care. I care both ways.
I don't give a fuck.
But what I'm saying is, like, if somebody I hate is doing something good for the world,
yeah,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You go. You go, Richard Nixon. Establish the EPA.
Yes, it's pop-off. Establish that EPA.
Honestly, that's the best thing he could be doing at this point, right?
Yep.
Late 1970?
Yeah. Yeah,
December 1970.
That's the only good thing. That's the only thing I want him to be doing, ever. Establish the EPA. That's it. That's all I want to know Richard Nixon for.
Well, now you do.
Good. Okay.
What's interesting is Congress didn't ratify it or whatever until January.
Okay.
And so, depending on the political leaning of the source, they either say it's Congress in January.
Uh-huh.
Or Nixon in December.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So we're starting to care. We're making sure people are kept liable for the pollution they cause.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1972, Randy fucking Newman released a song, Burn On, referencing the fire.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? Wait. Okay. Hang on. You can't just... Oh. Those are weird chords. Get to the chorus.
It sounds like a bad circus.
Oh, but... Randy! It because it is a bad circus. Because this whole thing, bad circus.
Yeah. So he released that song.
Okay.
Referencing that. I thought you knew it based on your reaction.
I didn't, and I was not disappointed.
Me neither. I had not listened to it before.
Yikes. I know exactly what playlist that's going on when we're done here.
Your Abby Lee Thriller Halloween party playlist.
Yes. Yeah, that one, first of all. But also, I have this playlist on my Spotify. It's called Absolute Bangers, and it is not and none of the songs on it are absolute bangers. Here are some of the songs on the playlist. Stadium Rave by SpongeBob SquarePants. The one where he has the party in his house with the jellyfish.
Don't know it.
Okay, great. Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Okay.
By Tiny Tim.
Okay.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Smell Your Dick. I don't know who's that. Yeah. Who that one is by. There's one called Shut the Fuck Up. It's nice. Just a song that Shut the Fuck Up. It's a really good one. Annabelle requested it. And now Burn On 2002 Remaster by Randy Newman. It's going on there.
Anyway, yep. So this song gets released. The fire's back in public eye.
Yep.
A few more songs would be released referencing the 1969 fire. As if it were a big fucking deal, let me remind you, it lasted 30 minutes and was not a big deal at all.
And nobody had any fucking pictures of it.
Yeah. So R.E.M. released a song called Cuyahoga. And Adam Again released a song called River on Fire, right on the nose there.
Colin's really mad about this.
It's just so stupid.
I think it's so funny.
It's like...
it's so minuscule and so ridiculously inaccurate.
Uh-huh.
That it's like hard to believe that people...
yeah.
Like release songs 30 about
minutes.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. And people are singing fucking songs about not the 1952 fire on
that
the Cuyahoga.
That lasted literally 5 days.
3 days. No, that one was 1936. Oh. Or the 1912 fire that killed 5 people.
So why do we care all of it? Because of Richard Nixon?
And other rivers are catching on fire too.
Richard Nixon is the reason
why
we care?
No, it's just all happening at the same time.
Oh.
But it's like... so at the time, nobody fucking cared.
Yeah.
It was like a kind of a big deal for people that were in the environmental scene. But it wasn't like, I don't know, the Big Bang. It wasn't as big of a deal. So why are we celebrating it?
Oh, God.
Ugh. So, the 1969 Cuyahoga fire became a staple of American folklore. So much that the EPA administrator, Carol Browner, would say years later, quote, "I will never forget a photograph of flames fire shooting out of the water in downtown Cleveland. It was the summer of 1969 and the Cuyahoga River was burning." No, it wasn't, fucking Carol. It burned for 30 minutes.
Carol, listen. I'm going to have you read this, and I want you to understand that this did not happen. I feel like I'm being gaslit, reverse gaslit.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody cared for, like, at least a year.
Yeah.
And then suddenly people are like, oh, there was this fire last year. It's like if we had, like, a small bushfire here.
Yeah.
And the whole nation was like, oh, fuck. Oh, there was a wildfire. Like, there aren't other giant wildfires happening.
This is another... okay, this is the exact reverse of a lot of your episodes. My reaction, where I'm like, why aren't we talking about this? Why haven't we learned about this? And now I'm like, why are we talking about this? Why have I learned about this?
Right? Literally. Like, it's so fucking stupid. And
there are so many other more important fucking things going on in the world.
Yes. And... something else can be your, like, legend for why you want to protect the environment, not this 30-minute oil fire.
So, like back-ass words, dude. I can't.
Talk about BP. I don't know.
Blood pressure. Everybody's blood pressure is too high.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, the fire that literally did not matter mm-hmm. made its way into Time and National Geographic wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And people started giving a shit about the environment.
Mm.
They now consider this small little fire to be like this big turning point in American environmentalism history. And like, yes, it happened at the same time, but nobody cared about it really then. And maybe it was the timing of literally it's on the front page of Time.
Yeah.
At the same time that the EPA is established. Both issues of Time and Nat Geo that came out. Both of them had some really important stories that were going on too. I can't remember what exactly.
Mm-hmm.
People were already really liking these issues that had the stuff about environmentalism. So it's in front of more eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, or that's about the Cuyahoga River fire. So maybe that's it. It's just fucking stupid, man. What?
I have two things. First thing, conspiracy theory. Time is behind everything. Not like the... Time Magazine is behind everything. Time Magazine, oh. Time Magazine is the reason for environmentalism. Now, here's the other thing. Here's my second point.
Okay.
That was my first one.
Yeah.
That's just a conspiracy theory.
Time, I believe it.
Time Magazine is Time is the actually catalyst. The
Illuminati.
Illuminati.
Lemonade?
Second thing before I fucking lose it. Now I don't know how to feel about this, because what if they didn't make a giant deal about this tiny little river fire that right? only lasted 30 minutes? Right?
What would if this we, is like the
would,
catalyst?
Would Tesla even exist? We would probably be dead.
Yeah.
Or something.
Elon Musk would be president and we would all be driving tractors to school.
How would Elon Musk be president?
He That's would an not alternate be president. Universe.
Yeah,
he's head of the tractor club and everybody loves their tractor.
Oh, and they make Tesla model tractors, but they don't they're not electric. They use as much oil as fucking possible.
Yeah It's actually named Warren Buffett. Like, that's the name, not Tesla. It's Buffett.
Oh, okay.
Buffett's the new Tesla.
Everything's really slippery because it's covered
I assume
in oil.
Warren Buffett likes to Warren, pollute.
I don't know what Warren Buffett does.
I can't remember either.
Don't tell the audience. Don't tell the listeners.
I just thought of somebody rich. I think he's still rich.
You know who really likes telling people what to do and probably is a fan of industrialism and oil companies? My tummy keeps growling.
My tummy?
Mitch McConnell. Frogman himself.
Actually, he would be president.
Froggy man. Yeah. He would be president. And you couldn't get an abortion and your baby would slide out because everything's covered in oil.
Yeah. Everyone would be part, like, fish. Yeah. We'd start growing fins again.
Yeah, but we would be, like, oil fish.
Yeah.
We would learn how to adapt. Maybe that's what we should do.
That's a great idea. Adapting. I like that.
Okay.
Adapt to the pollution.
Let's go. Get better lungs.
Right? So, the fire is credited as helping spur the Clean Water Act, the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement, the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency, even though it was basically the smallest fire that's been on this river ever.
I don't know about all that. Did you say how much it actually burned?
So,
like, distance or, like, amount of things. It just burned for 30 minutes. That's all we know.
$50,000 worth, which is $403,000 today.
Okay.
It was just a small fire.
Yeah.
It was just like timing. They didn't even fucking have photos of it.
It was a giant coinky dink.
Yeah.
Or a giant conspiracy.
I believe it. Anything, I think it's a conspiracy. Environmental conspiracy? Abso-fucking-lutely. I will get on board with that.
Yeah.
I will form the conspiracies and execute.
Let's go. Let's get on Reddit right now.
I will be the one nailing spikes into the trees. Okay?
Nailing spikes into the trees?
Yeah. So when you put a chainsaw through it, it ruins the chainsaw.
Oh, period.
Environmental terrorism. Look it up.
I didn't know that that was a thing. Do you want to do that? Is that something I should start supporting you in? Do you need a chainsaw?
I don't actually want to. I just think it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh.
Oh, I'm not cutting down the trees.
No,
I'm nailing
the
spikes in.
Do you want a chainsaw for fighting purposes? Because I have one.
You know, I'm not going to turn down a chainsaw.
Bitch, I got my leaf blower out the other day.
Actually, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hide in the trees and blow people from me.
I truly felt like a dad. I was out there with my coffee, had my dog unleashed, no collar, just following me around. I was just leaf blowing to my heart's content.
And I love that.
My heart was content. I'm really in this, like, fix up my house type mood right now, and I feel like a true dad.
I appreciate
it. If I hear some noise out in the yard, I just go stand out on the front deck.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on?
Make sure they're not putting a berm in front of your driveway.
No riffraff around here.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Not the berm.
So this isn't all to say that other cities, as I said, didn't have pollution problems.
Right.
And their rivers didn't experience the same issues. Mm-hmm. Literally, they fucking did. This fire just happened to be at the right time, and suddenly people want clean drinking water and rivers you can swim in without your skin burning off.
Oh, there's one fire and all of a sudden you want clean water?
Right.
Get over yourselves.
So in the past 10 years, the Cuyahoga River is still not super clean. But in March 2019, the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency deemed, for the first time, fish from the river are safe to eat. So a step in the right direction.
Yay, we can eat fish out of the river. Don't drink it, though. Yeah. Eat the fish. So, cook it. You got to cook it real good.
I'm sure.
Well, thank you for absolutely educating me on what seems like a giant waste of time or a giant conspiracy. I like the
ladder.
L-A-D-D-E-R.
I like ladders, too. And snakes.
No. Nope. I hate snakes.
Sierra just plays ladders.
I just play ladders. It's chutes and ladders.
Oh.
Snakes and ladders.
How do the snakes on a plane.
How do the snakes
I always get
them
mixed up.
You get chutes and ladders and snakes on a plane?
Yes.
Chutes and ladders is a children's game. Yes. Snakes on a plane is a movie.
That's a movie?
Oh, my God. Are you thinking of Eels and Escalators from SpongeBob?
No.
It's their version of Snakes and Ladders. Eels and Escalators.
Interesting.
How do you think pollution works in Bikini Bottom?
Oh, fuck.
They have cars. They have boat cars.
Well, they obviously don't run on, like, combustion. Yeah. You can't combust underwater. You can combust on top of water.
You can combust all over this.
Which is, I mean, what we learned is you can burn a river. Moral of the story. You can burn a river, but SpongeBob, Bikini Bottom can't burn down.
Literally. Even though there is this, there's a literal scene in the SpongeBob movie where shit is on fire. I don't want to talk about it. I still need to do my SpongeBob conspiracy theory episode because it doesn't make any sense. Do you have any notes app thoughts?
I think so, actually.
The only one that I have is there's a guy that ate an entire airplane. He ate it. And he would eat 2 pounds of metal a day.
No, that's not okay.
And I think
that, like a Cessna or like
I don't know what kind of plane. It was a plane, though.
It was a paper plane.
Paper plane. I ate an entire plane. You can't tell me I didn't. I think that's crazy.
That is
How
crazy.
Did you get your body to metabolize metal?
Does that hurt on its way metal. Out?
It's gotta. Unless he has the asshole of Iron Man. Iron Man asshole. Band name called it. Well, shit. This has been a wild episode.
You've
stayed with us this long, we appreciate you. And if you haven't stayed with us this long, you're a liar because you're listening to this part right now.
Gotcha.
But thank you so much for listening. Go give us 5 stars if you haven't already. It's not for our egos. It's just so that more people can listen to us.
It's for my egos.
It's for Colin's ego, and it's so that more people can listen to me, because I like listening to me. I love hearing my own voice. Too. Up next to this microphone. I'm fucking on. Anyways, thanks for listening. Tune in next week when we talk about...
Bye.
Bye.